Just imagine a sensation of lightness in your fingertips. That's right. Just close your eyes. Focus on your breathing. That's right. Be aware of the air moving in and out of your nostrils. That's right. That's right. And be aware of a sensation of lightness in the ends of your fingertips on either one of your hands, whichever hand you would like. And it really doesn't matter whether you want to allow that hand to rise ever so slightly and gently off your leg or off the armchair. Or maybe you'll just feel the lightness in your fingers. It really doesn't matter whether it moves higher and higher, lighter and lighter, gradually floating up into the air. Or maybe it just feels different. Maybe you don't even notice it moving slowly, higher and higher. But what you are noticing is the sound of the noise machine in the background and the softness in my voice and the lightness in your head and the breath moving in and out of your body. And I'm going to ask that all of you be comfortable, that all of you allow your hands to be light but comfortable, and that you think about, now again, watching your parents, looking at your parents in front of the house that you spent time with them in. And of course, we all did this last time, and you may be noticing how vividly you can see your parents. And today, watch them, see how they stand next to each other. How do they look next to each other? Do they look comfortable? Do they look contented? Do they look connected? Simply observe your parents standing next to each other in front of the house that you lived in with them. And the lightness in your hand may be comfortable and noticeable. It may just be floating. And now you see your parents, and now we're going to ask you to see your father in the place where your father would normally be, by himself. And as last time, I'll ask you to notice how you feel looking at your father. And I think every one of you has some experience right now, and I'd like you all to just nod your head ever so gently that yes, you are having some experience related to your father. That's right. Very good. So all of you are seeing him, and you have specific reactions to him. And as you experience those reactions, you are able to formulate in your mind in some way the things about your relationship with your father that bothered you. The things about your father that bothered you. The sense that you had of his weaknesses, or his rigidities, or his blind spots. Whatever it was about your dad that you felt needed correcting. And of course, it's not so easy to correct your dad, is it? It's not so easy to stand up to somebody who might be a lot bigger and might be stronger. He might be forceful or he might not. But so you're going to be standing there in front of him at whatever age you are. And like we did last time, we're going to ask that you begin to confront your father with the things you want from him. And you're going to confront him with what he wasn't giving you that he should have given you, or what he was doing that he shouldn't have done. And you're going to be persistent. And I'm going to speak softly, and you really don't have to listen very hard to my voice or care very much about what I'm saying, because part of your mind is aware of the air moving in and out of your nostrils. And as I go on about your nostrils and your hands and my voice, you're still interacting with your father. And you're letting him know, and it's not easy. He resists you, as he always did, in whatever way he always did. But you're persistent. And even if you're frightened, and even if you're angry, and even if you're sad, you'll persist and you'll tell him. And you'll jump up and down if you have to. Maybe you won't. You'll speak eloquently or persuasively. And you'll be explaining to him what it is that you need. You need love. You need attention. You need affection. You need guidance. You need someone who listens. And he has flaws, and there are specific flaws that you can see. Maybe he drank. Maybe he yelled. Maybe he was passive. Maybe he withdrew. Maybe he disappeared. I don't know, but you know. And my voice isn't very important, and you don't have to listen to it very hard as you allow yourself to feel the lightness in your hand and experience the interaction with your father. And as you jump up and down, and as you bang on the pots and pans, and as you bang on his chest, whatever it takes to get his attention, and to get his attention and his interest and his concern and his thought process to engage him, you notice that whatever he was really like, there's a little smile in his eye to see you stand up for yourself. There's a part of him, however begrudging, that might be proud of you. Now, maybe that wasn't like your father, but this is the father that we're seeing now. One who can appreciate your moxie, your strength, your willingness to go to bat for what you believe in and what you need. So you're watching your dad, and you're talking to him maybe like you've never done before, maybe like you have. And you're telling him what's wrong. That's right. Let that sink in. Telling him what you need, and maybe telling him what he needs to change, because he has problems, because he has sadnesses, because he has things he wish he had done different or could have done different. And you have to help him to see what he needs. And this can be an involved thing to watch your father address perhaps his problems. And now, as you're doing this, you can imagine that the next step is to see your parents together and to watch them resolve the problems between them. And this may never have happened, and perhaps it never could have happened. But no doubt, some of the problems your father had were with your mother, and some of the problems your mother had were with your father. And you can watch them interact with each other. You can watch them learn what they need to learn about partnership, about compassion, about friendship, about openness, about flexibility. And all of these are words, and whenever I say them, there are ideas and thoughts coming to your mind about what they did and had done and could do. So I'd like to recede a little bit and ask you to spend a few moments watching them solve their problems with each other, watching them understand things that they didn't understand then, to see things that they didn't see then, to change things that they didn't change then. So take a few moments. Stay in the world you're in and watch it change. Watch your parents grow. Watch them become what you didn't think they could become. Wiser, gentler, more insightful. That's right. And then, watch them become what they needed to become, what you needed them to become. See the transformations. And maybe this wasn't enough time for you to do all the work you needed, and maybe you'll find it easy to visit with your father some more if you need to, or your mother. And maybe this will be a series of visits in which they gradually address the problems that they've had. And then I'm going to ask you all to come back from this and yet to stay in this slightly different state. Let your hand remain light. Let your child come back from the land of his father and mother. Take a moment now and contemplate your commitment to a meditative practice, to thinking about doing an exercise like this, or the inner child, or the meditative, and ask yourself, can I find the place inside myself where I am certain about things? So I'll ask you all to take a moment and imagine, remember, live in a moment of certainty when you knew what you were going to do. I knew I was showing up for medical school that first day. Boy, I knew it. And there are things you know. And now ask yourself, can I know that I wish to meditate? Can I plant my wish for a reflective practice in the deepest places of my mind and my body? I will tell you that there is a place in the center of your brain, a rod really, that runs up and down through your brain where you hold your identity, the things that you know effortlessly, your name, your body, your sex, your homeland, the things that you know like you know yourself. And when you learn to hook things on to this sense of identity, that is when you have control over yourself. When you can say, I am a meditator, I am a woman, I am a man, I am a father, I am a child, I am a worker, whatever I am that hangs on to that centerpiece inside us, that we know like the back of our hand, that we know like we know our own name, like we know like we know our mother's face. There are so many things we know about ourselves. And can we define ourselves? And can you define yourself as a member of this group? Can you define yourself as a seeker of wisdom and enlightenment? Can you define yourself as a person who is going to make progress in their lives by finding tools and seizing them? So can you ask yourself one more time, can I commit to, will it go thunk, like the key in the lock, like the sonar that sounds the depths? Can I make this commitment to myself to make this experience as meaningful as it can be? To wake up in the morning with a sense of purpose that there is something I want to be doing for myself and for the people I have charted this journey with. So let these ideas in your mind, let them percolate. Wonder if they'll come back to you. Ask yourself when and how you might remember this moment of attempted certainty. And you can wake up if you're sleeping, and you can rouse yourself, and you can say, yes, I can be certain, if you'd like to be. And then take a moment now, count backwards in your own mind from 3 to 2 to 1. When you say 3, you'll get ready. When you say 2, you'll open your eyes. When you say 1, you wake up, Mike, feeling refreshed and relaxed and ready to greet the day.